right. Welcome to the weekly. I'm Jeremy. And today my co-host Chris is out. So a work conflict. So they recovered from the illness that kind of canceled things. So we had technical issues and a little bit of sickness. Nothing serious. Just kind of spring cold. And but you got to be careful, you know, these times. And it's just me for this week. But I'll take this opportunity to kind of go over what you may have noticed logging in. So there's been a bit of a rebranding, a name change on the channel. So this will affect YouTube and Twitch and every place that you'll be getting this stream and also the podcast itself. So the new name for everything that I'll be doing with various co-hosts and other people will now be Upturned Table. So Upturned Table is the kind of new channel name, the new branding. So formerly Idle Red Hands, and so that will still exist. It will still exist as a podcast and everything else, but I'm going to have like a different involvement. It was just kind of creative differences. And I think, as explained a few times, I was late coming to the Idle Red Hands kind of group. They started in about, I think, 2010 was their first posting for an audio podcast. And originally they were just an audio podcast. And things kind of stopped, their production kind of stopped around 2014, maybe early 2015, because everybody got married, had kids, got kind of busy with what they were doing. So there was really no time to continue. And I started listening to some of their old episodes and really liked what they were doing and asked if they wanted a producer, what do you want to do? And it was still difficult, you know, to find time, but we did. And we started the YouTube channel and, you know, doing live streams and actual plays and everything. But it just turns out that's not exactly what they want to be doing. You know, they want to focus on much more their original intention, kind of, you know, deeply researched, you know, discussions of, you know, topics historically and kind of, you know, more context and more inspiration for your gaming. So that will continue. And hopefully you'll see more of those sorts of things, like their creature features and, you know, things like that, that focus on, you know, different monster types or different, you know, character classes or something in role-playing to give you that inspiration. So And Chris and other people will continue to do this and give you more things like actual plays, unboxings, and, you know, kind of, you know, the YouTube and live streaming content that we've been doing for the past couple of years, as well as, you know, lore videos and the things like our Mutant Chronicles, things like that. So we'll continue along those lines. And so it was an amicable, you know, parting of ways. And I respected what they were doing, and that's why I wanted to get involved in it. And, you know, also because of the lockdown, you know, the pandemic lockdown, it was impossible to meet physically, and, you know, kind of recording Zoom calls and things was just not very interesting to us. Or we just didn't do it. And so things really slowed down. So I focused on the things that I could do, and especially things I could do from home. So that became more, you know, lore videos, unboxings and things. And so that went away from their original vision. So the Upturned Table is now what we're working on. And so I like that name because it implies table flip, but it also has the same meaning of after a table flip, how you would recover. So you'd turn the table back up and reset. So that's what we're doing. We're resetting the table. So that will be where you can find everything. So that also now means Twitch and YouTube, like I mentioned, but also Twitter. And there's not a Discord server yet. So there will be a Discord server that I'll put a link to. So yeah, so that's the new name for everything. And I hope everyone follows along and everyone kind of continues to enjoy the content. And there'll be, you know, kind of interactions and kind of cross promotion, I'm sure, between the two things, because we're still, you know, we're still in touch. We're still on friendly terms. So nothing terrible. It was just kind of a reset and, you know, just the, like I said, artistic differences about what kind of content was going to be created for the channel. So that brings us to, I guess, our first topic for this week. So the first thing that I wanted to mention, and this is a little bit older now, it's still going on, but, you know, it's been 2 weeks, but Mantic released the kind of second edition playtest rules for their Firefight miniature game. So if you don't know what Firefight is, so Warpath is Mantic's sci-fi miniatures game. They're kind of their answer to Warhammer 40K. And they've long before there really was 40K thinking about things like kill team or you know, patrol size scaling matches, Mantic was really trying to fill that gap with different size play. So they had kind of three types of play. And I think second edition Warpath first introduced the firefight scale. So the main version of Warpath is your full miniatures. You know, it can scale up to however many vehicles and however big you want to play on a, you know, 4x6 table. And very, you know, equivalent to other, you know, mass battle war games. And then they introduced Dead Zone. So Dead Zone is their, you know, small team, maybe 10 models, individual models, not units, there's no cohesion, you're not moving them together. They're individual, you know, like maybe alternating activations with individual models. So a team of, similar to Kill Team, a team themed around a different faction. And they introduced some really nice terrain, so it had a lot of verticality. So Kill Team was their small skirmish game, Warpath was their larger one, and they came up with a kind of a happy medium, something in the middle. So this is Firefight. And so Firefight is still using units, but you're using a smaller number of units, and they're doing things in the rules to kind of speed up gameplay. So things like measuring, you're not measuring from particular units, you're using the leader. Like, you kind of make one measurement from the leader to what you're shooting at or what you're attacking, and that helps to not have to keep you know, rechecking and measuring distances and things. And so there's a few other kind of quality of life changes to make things play faster. And I think, you know, because people want to play with units, they want to put vehicles on the table, but they also want to get done, you know, within less than 4 to 6 hours, which, you know, as you know, anything massive can really stretch into an entire day and sometimes doesn't even get finished. So I'll put a link to the second edition of Firefight. So they're asking you to help play test the second edition. So it's a fast-paced, they call it fast-paced, furious, and most importantly, fun version of Warpath. So Andy Sharp is the developer. And so the main concept, as I was saying, is scaled down, scaled up from Dead Zone. So scaled down from the original game and upscaled Dead Zone. So kind of a Dead Zone XL, I guess, is how they've termed it. And so what you're doing is, so there's command dice, which have replaced the Vanguard style point dice or command points. And it can be played almost as quickly as Dead Zone, they're claiming. So a unit-based game that can play as quickly as a skirmish game. So that's a pretty big feat. So that makes me interested right away to see what these new rules are looking like and give it a play test. So instead of, no measuring, and instead you just move cube to cube. And also, but although Firefight doesn't have many cubes, all the measuring is much easier, because line of sight and movement is based on, like I said, the squad leaders. So basically you only have to measure one time and then move and shoot. So turn length is much shortened. And also you're playing 4x4. You can play, so it's 1,000 points, and you can play on a six by four. But it's meant to, so I guess Dead Zone is 3x3 and this is 4x4. So you're in close, it doesn't take much, you know, to get an engagement range. And so in the next few months, they're going to be working on that. I'm not sure if they're going to do a Kickstarter, because the first edition of Firefight was just kind of included as a volume in their box set for second edition Warpath. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that release, and so give that a shot. And you can proxy, you know, you can proxy things if you don't actually have a Warpath army. You know, you can proxy things to just try out the rule set and see what you think. So I've always had kind of a pained relationship with Mantic. I've always been into their them as the alternative, because they're so much cheaper and they're kind of, you know, filling those holes, trying to do the things that Games Workshop isn't doing, like giving you Space Dwarves or giving you Skaven in space. Or when the Old World Fantasy completely disappeared, they came up with a volume of stat lines and rules to play all of your old Warhammer Fantasy battles armies in the Mantic Kings of War, which is their fantasy miniatures game setting. So they're always kind of doing that, but they're not quite going far enough, or they don't haven't quite kind of been anything but the alternative. And actually, my first miniatures, my first like plastic miniatures for an army were the Warpath, the Fate of the Forge Star set, I believe. So I've always had a, you know, I've always been cheering for them. I always want them to do well. And they've done some really interesting miniatures, especially for Dead Zone. The Rebs, the mercenary models and the Rebs are really unique, interesting sci-fi, like individual characters, because Dead Zone is, you know, individual model-based skirmish level. And yeah, so I hope that they gain some popularity, because if you want to play ranked fantasy miniatures games, Kings of War is the best choice, I think, right now for that. And yeah, so I hope Firefight does well. So we did an unboxing of Star Saga. So they had a spring clearance sale, and I picked up a really affordable core box of Star Saga, which is their sci-fi version of their Dungeon Saga game, which is basically kind of Warhammer Quest. It's a tile-based, the adventure board game. And the models were still the quality that I expected, but this is a board game as well. So this, they're not on sprues, they're pre-assembled, but there were some pretty amazing models in there as well. So there's some really nice design of some of the units and some of the troops, and then but the plastic and things were still kind of, you know, it's right in between kind of board game and miniatures. And I always want it to just be a little bit more, a little bit better, and for them to kind of, you know, evolve their setting and kind of make it more unique or identifiable, because it feels just kind of generic, and it's so overshadowed by, you know, the lore of, you know, Warhammer 40K is a huge thing. So you can't really do what they've done, and you can't really, but you got to get out from under that and kind of do something unique. And I think some of the things in Dead Zone did that. There's some, you know, unique and interesting factions, but also some really generic and like, oh, I see what you did kind of stuff. So check out those rules. I'll put a link to the Firefight Second Edition playtest and see if that's interesting. But yeah, so good luck, Mantic, and I hope they can do well with this next version. I mean, anything that's tabletop miniatures and plays quicker is a good thing. And it may also inform you, you know, help you think of, you know, kind of homebrew or house rules that may make everything you're doing with wargaming a little bit more fun. So the next thing I wanted to talk about is Broken Tales. So Broken Tales is going to head to Kickstarter this May. And Broken Tales is being produced by the World Anvil Publishing. So Tommaso Di Benetti reached out to me and sent me a link to what they were doing, kind of an explanation of what they're up to. And Broken Tales was really intriguing to me. So I have the quick start, and I think I'll do a flip through. It'll be a digital flip through, but I think I'll do a flip through live stream for that, so you can get a little bit of a taste for this before the Kickstarter starts. But what this game is inspired by broken fairy tales. So that idea, I mean, that's been done kind of in the 90s. There was Fable, the comic book series, where you had, you know, various fairy tale characters with ex-wives and drinking problems and whatever, you know, gritty actual characters from the fairy tales. That's okay. And that was a little, it was okay. It seemed like a kind of weak inspiration. But this I really like. This, the sound of what they're doing and the fact that they're broken makes it very interesting. So the setup is, once upon a time, a child saved the world of fairy tales. The reward is a wish. The one who plots in the shadows saw an opportunity and tarnished the child's heart, whispering in his ear a corrupted idea. The child asked the king of fairy tales a new life for the villains, relegated by centuries to be the antagonists. This was to be their shot at redemption, and but any light needs a shadow. So that is how the villains became good, and the good guys became evil in exchange. And so that is the broken fairy tale. So all the fairy tales were shattered. So Broken Tales is a dark tabletop RPG of upside down fairy tales, where villains seek redemption, and nothing is how you remember it. So kind of dark gothic version of 18th century Europe. So the characters you play are hunters, and you move through the shadows in the mysterious service of the order. And so where fairy tales come in is fairy tales are kind of an inspiration for the settings. So it reverses, you know, who is good and who is bad, but also takes is taking inspiration. So you're not actually, you know, teaming up with the big bad wolf, but there's a faction or clans, and in this case, I believe in the playtest, werewolves that fill that role. So the order has sent your player characters, the hunters, to deal with a certain situation in a city or in the countryside, and it's based on fairy tales, but it's inspiration. So the names and things will kind of tell you what side and what intention they are on. So this coloring was very interesting because we all know those fairy tale structures, and reversing them and kind of trying to redeem the villains or the monsters in these situations is a really inspired and interesting idea for the setting. And I got a chance to quickly look through the playtest rules, and the rules are really interesting. I like the system that they're using, and it reminded me a little bit of what I saw them trying to do in the Dune system as well. Is they talk about combat or conflict, but it doesn't necessarily mean attacking or fighting. It can also mean, you know, social conflict, and so they're. How you resolve things is similar, whether it's you know, verbally negotiating or it's a physical attack. So it's definitely worth checking out. I'll put a link to the quick start, and hopefully I can Tommaso, I can have a quick interview with him, and so he can talk about the inspiration of everything he offered that. So hopefully that will appear on the channel, and we'll get some word from the publisher about what they're doing. So that'll come up in May. So hopefully we can do something a little bit before May. So that's Broken Tales by the World Anvil Publishing. And so the last thing that I wanted to talk about that I really wish Chris was here for, I guess this is one of those 5E topics that, it's fun to antagonize Chris with. It's all in, you know, it's good-natured fun, but there is a Kickstarter going on right now that is Sibarum, the Free League dark fantasy setting, but this time it's the setting for 5e. So that made me a little sad, because as you've heard previously on this show, we've discussed Trophy, the kind of indie role-playing game setting that was inspired by this dark setting. So they didn't like the system. They didn't like the D6 die pool system that Sibarum uses, the year zero mechanics. And so they used another, you know, kind of maybe more rules light system to make Trophy. But it was this setting that inspired this dark nature, you know, kind of oppressive forests and large creatures, which you can't actually overcome. These aren't dragons you're going to be slaying. These are creatures you just have to, you know, negotiate with and avoid. So you run into, you know, dark powers that are way beyond what you're capable of doing. And it's also then dark magic. There's you know, corruption, and the magic is dangerous. The magic system is dangerous. So that's what Trophy was inspired by. But they didn't want to use the Free League Year Zero system. So again, Free League has now seen as an opportunity, you know, to expand the player base. They're porting it to 5e. And that's okay. I mean, I wish they would make everyone promise if you play it for 5e, you'll at least try one session with the original rule set, because that's just a shame. So that same fate has happened to another Swedish designed game that I like. The Trudvang, which is a setting for their Dungeons and Dragons, is the, you know, the Swedish Dungeons and Dragons, Demons and Dragons, basically. It's their kind of second setting, and they have just recently, I don't think they're out yet, but they're being produced, the 5e adaptation of Trudvang. So Sibarum is following in those footsteps and trying to, you know, hit that wider market, those, you know, people that already know the system of, you know, 5e D&D can now try out this setting. And it's that's a good thing. I mean, because that means that if they like it, they will keep producing the books, because there's so much material already produced for Ciborum that there'll be a lot of books that they can then port over to 5e, and a lot of people can experience these adventures that were written and these, you know, amazing monsters and the you know, corrupted magic system. All of that can exist. And so what they're producing is the three standard books, the Player's Guide, the Game Master's Guide, and the Bestiary, are being produced for this campaign. And of course they're using, so they're adding new races. What to expect. So there'll be new rules. So they'll emphasize the dark fantasy nature of the setting, and traveling rests and social challenges, magic, corruption are introduced. Alignments are removed from play. So that's something that's interesting. We've talked about that as being one of the identifying features of Dungeons & Dragons, is, you know, initiative and alignment are real kind of standard things that have been in every edition. But in situations like this, I can understand that to get the correct tone and to have everything be dark, you don't want to be playing as evil. You don't want to be opposing everything as good. So alignment is removed from play. There'll be new origins. So humans, dwarves, and elves, so kind of classic, you know, Scandinavian fantasy. You can create player characters, and there'll also be, you know, NPCs of those races, those fantasy races, and then changeling, ogres, goblins, and trolls, and a particular form of undead are also going to be available. New classes in the player's guide, so captain, hunter, mystic, scoundrel, and warrior. And so there is already, if you want to try it out, a 109-page condensed 5e PDF available for free now on DriveThruRPG. So again, I'll give you a link to that. And that's kind of their proof of concept. So it was designed to show that this, so 5e can work in this world with just some, you know, modifications. And it's something that they've been working on for a while. So adapting Ciborum to the world's most popular role-playing game, they said it's kind of walking this middle road, right? They want to keep things familiar with the 5e skills and abilities and provide new races and backgrounds, but feats to fit the setting best. But due to the corruption, the corruptive nature of the world, spellcasting works very differently. So you might find it more flexible, but also more dangerous at the same time. So, yeah, this is, it makes me a little sad, but at the same time, they want new players and they want people to be able to appreciate what they've done. And if it was the actual system that's keeping you from trying this game, you just don't want to learn another system. And I see that's becoming, I mean, I think that's the strength of Dungeons & Dragons being the biggest brand, is that's the system you learn first, most likely. And so a lot of people are very reluctant then to go beyond anything they've learned, unless it's very familiar, unless it's just a modification of that. And so that's where they're kind of coming in, letting you play in this setting with a slightly modified rule set. So things a little bit different from what you have expected. It's good. So one thing I want to discuss, and I won't go into it too much now, but this will be a fun topic with Chris, is trying to look on the, the glass half full side of this, just in terms of a lot of, you know, indie developers and people, as they get a little bit bigger and a little more popular, want to break through to that, you know, kind of crossover into more mainstream, player base, which is mostly all playing D&D 5e. And that is sad, but at the same time, we have to appreciate that we're at this moment in history, in kind of tabletop role playing, where there is this common system, and that a lot of people know, probably more people know how to play 5e than have known how to play any other previous iteration of any role playing game system. Just the popularity of the internet and how, you know, you're able to watch YouTube videos explaining, the different character classes, the different races or different mechanics. There's a lot more discussion and discourse on all different levels for 5e. So we should be happy about this, because this is probably the last time in history this is going to happen. As soon as D&D kind of falls from grace, or they make a mistake with 6th or 7th or whatever edition, and a lot of people, it turns a lot of the player base away, things are just going to fracture, and you're going to have a bunch of, you know, 5 to 10%, you know, groups of people playing all of their different systems that fits, you know, more of what they want to do or more what they can get their group to play. So we should appreciate that 5e is a, the 5e is as popular as it is because it is a tabletop role-playing game and more people know it than have ever known. I mean, I think even, you know, late 70s, early 80s, peak of DVD, D&D, peak of Dungeons & Dragons, pre-Satanic Panic, or maybe the, you know, the reason that caused us that Satanic Panic, I still think the popularity was not quite what it is now. So we should be happy. We should be happy about that for the hobby. And you know, people will be dissatisfied or maybe feel like they grow out of Dungeons and Dragons and go looking for other alternatives, and there are plenty out there. So that'll be a topic I'll bring up next time my co-host is here, and we'll talk a little bit about that, because that is a positive thing. And even though a lot of people, you know, don't like the 800-pound gorilla of a single dominant system, you know, that's basically run by a toy company, so has the reach and the merchandising and everything to just, you know, wipe out everything else out there and get people to. So that's the thing in miniature wargaming, it's, you know, Games Workshop, and in tabletop role playing, it's Wizards of the Coast, you know, Hasbro. And the strategy that I don't think a lot of people really understand is they offer so much and give you so much to spend money on, and also make the price of things a little bit more than it needs to be, because that takes your hobby money, your disposable income, your discretionary funds away from other companies. So if they can get you into their ecosystem, you learn their rule set, or you love your whatever army, you invest in that and you're out of money to buy other books and do other things. I mean, if I wasn't so interested in seeing what was out there and reviewing different rule sets and trying different experiences, I would pick a system, you know, a single system that, you know, my group enjoyed the most and stick with it. So I think I'm much more experimental and exploratory than the average player, just because of the podcast and this show and everything else. But for the most part, that's what they're doing, and they want to eat up every extra dollar you may have with, you know, deluxe rule books and dice towers and things, so you're not going to stray, you know, too far from what you originally did. So I think that, yeah, that's a really, that exists, and we should be a little bit aware of that too. So that's the, that's the problem with the big popular system. So yeah, that'll be a topic we'll go into. I'll go into with Chris, and we'll kind of see where Chris is with that, you know, mentally and emotionally. But wow, have I really plowed through everything so quickly? So yeah, I guess I may have. Wow, yeah. So sorry about that false start there as well at the beginning. And I appear to not be on Twitch. We are. I'm there. Sorry. So I did. Yeah, the false start, which you just heard me talk about again. Yeah, the false start was adjusting the bitrate for Twitch. Twitch has decided that the default settings for everything they don't like. So OBS's default output, Twitch no longer will display. So I've had a few with my cartoon stream. I've had a few sessions of completely black screen with beautiful audio on Twitch. So that seems to be back. So hello, Twitch viewers. So both of the channels. So if you've taken a look at, if you're a subscriber to either YouTube or Twitch, you now see the upturned table brand for everything there. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm doing all kinds of horrible things here. Would you like to listen to ads on YouTube? I can play the audio from those. Jeez. All right. So yeah, sorry. I'm just checking to make sure everything is actually working. But hopefully we'll be back to, two people sitting on either side of a table next week. And there is a possibility that we may need to change the date of broadcasting the live stream. We may have to, if this work conflict is going to continue so that we have a very unpredictable Friday, we'll try to find a more reliable day. So it'll be the same time, just a different day of the week. But it was kind of fun to have it on Friday because it was it's the end of the work week. So it was a nice kind of thing to do. And especially if we had a game night, that was coming up right after that or on Saturday. So this will be a bit of a short, let me just take a look in the chat too. This will be a bit of a shorter episode, but I want to just catch up with everybody. Oh, nice. So hopefully this transition isn't too rocky. I have a feeling the RSS feed for the podcast is going to be the thing that's going to suffer most from the rebranding, because what I want to do is kind of separate things from the original episodes of Idle Red Hands and then the newer things that we did that are now being called Upturned Table. I want to be able to separate those and have those things exist. So for a while, the RSS feed will be everything, and it takes so long for it to propagate. And the other thing that I ran into, of course, perfect timing as always, is Apple is now doing their shenanigans with their new podcast subscriptions. So they basically have shut down. You can't add new podcasts or modify existing podcasts right now, because they're getting their system in place to basically compete with Patreon. So Apple is basically going to try to bake in a Patreon to their Apple Podcast service. And if you're very loyal, Apple World, that ecosystem, if you're embedded deep in the Apple ecosystem, that may work better for you than Patreon. But I think their decisions about content and things are going to be a little bit worse. So that timing is making things. So Apple is one of the main services that kind of, aggregates or gets the podcast out there, and it's not doing any changeover right now. I think it may have done a name change, but all the graphics and everything are still kind of hung up. So for a while, you're going to see both names kind of mixed up, especially with the audio podcast. So Idle Red Hands is still valid, and it will be its own thing again. But for this kind of uncomfortable transitional time, it will be Upturned Table will eventually be where you will hear me and everything that I'm doing with various co-hosts and other people. So yeah, I hope it goes well. It was a lot of work. I had three miserable like 18, 20 hour days of work to kind of technically get everything. And still the new website and everything isn't all set yet. And also I'm still working on getting a website strictly for the live, the weekly live, giving it its own website. So that will be a thing that will happen. And so there'll be some other shows and brands and kind of new things coming up under the whole kind of Upturned Table, I guess, network. So how we're going to be doing everything. And as soon as possible, or if I can get one of the virtual tabletops working too, I want to try to start some actual plays, because there's a couple of systems that really work well, even remotely, and that they've done really nice assets for on some of the virtual tabletops. Free League is doing a good job for supporting the Alien RPG and Forbidden Lands with virtual tabletop assets. So I'd love to try some of those with a group. And yeah, unfortunately the OSR group is going to take a break. I don't know indefinitely or what's going on, but the OSR group that I was playing with for a while is kind of on pause. And it was a shame. We were just starting a kind of a trial of 5e, and I'll bring this up when we talk about 5e again with Chris, but I'm shocked how comfortable it is to go back to that, and how there's kind of a I'll talk about that later. There's a some bad habits and some sloppy play styles that are involved with 5e, but that are still pretty comfortable. And I forgot about that. So it's a funny thing to go back to. I played just only a couple of campaigns of 5e and run only a single session myself. But there's something funny about that system, and I can understand why. It's once people learn it, it's hard to crawl out of that that tar pit of just sitting there flipping through the player's guide while other people are taking their turns and all that kind of bad etiquette. Which you shouldn't do. Yeah, I mean, which I don't think is, I don't think that's a good thing to be doing in a role-playing session. But I noticed that both with Pathfinder, Starfinder, and Dungeons & Dragons, that ends up being a thing. There's a lot of, like, communal rules lookup and stuff. And I don't think that should be a thing. But it is. And it's kind of a fun part of it, too. It's kind of fun to just, be... checking checking for all your bonuses and rechecking rules and stuff that may not be that you may not have remembered, because every time you have a new character, there's going to be stuff that you haven't dealt with before. All right, well, I guess it's not a regular episode. It's a apology and explanation episode, but so I hope. Chris is doing well with the workload. It sounded like the end of this week got pretty miserable. So that's why Chris is not here. But I will be here regardless. And we may try some different things with the weekly now. There's kind of, we're fighting hard for, our new identity. So you may see some new experimental things. And I'd like to get more involved with interviews and things as well, and doing previews of games, so hopefully getting some prototypes or early play tests to show you. And I think that would be a fun thing, and something that really when it was under the Utter Red Hands label, people weren't as interested in. So I want to be reaching out to a lot more creators, and not just Kickstarters, but actually independent creators and people that are doing things and kind of, letting you know what's out there. And so broadening the range of, what we're talking about to kind of cover just about everything that people are doing on tabletop. So, the whole range of everything. So I guess that's going to do it for this week. There's all kinds of new new places to go, and I'll do the link of everything. And the other thing that I'm not sure of is... Streamlabs. The Streamlabs link is going to be Idle Red Hands, I believe, for a while. So if you want to tip the stream, Super Chat is the name switchover worked well, but Streamlabs is still stuck with the address. The tip address is still Idle Red Hands. So that address link in the description for Streamlabs tipping is still valid, but it's the previous name. So anyhow. So that will do it for this week. So sorry, a little bit shorter and a a rebuilding episode. So just to explain a little bit to you about what's going on and why you're seeing things having different names and having it be a little bit confusing. But all right. So if you would like to follow this show, as well as the rest of Upturned Table, you can visit upturntable.com. Everything is there, including our lore series for Mutant Chronicles, which completed the first chronicle. So you've got 7 episodes, which is like 120 minutes of lore. So if you want to watch a feature length lore video, which I will be doing like a long cut of it, I want to cut everything. So do a 4K release of the entire thing, just all cut together. So the intros and outros I'll take off and give you a one long thing if you want to go through that whole thing deep dive. I'm not sure listening to that whole thing at once is going to be pretty hard. It's horrible things happened in that universe. So the lore series is there, as well as a link for the weekly, so you can sort by the audio or video and whichever kind of show or content that you're interested in. The YouTube channel now is Upturned Table. So links to all of those things. But if you're subscribed, if you were subscribed to Idle Red Hands, you just followed over on the on the name change. And just double check your notifications and things are still working. And the same with Twitch. Twitch is now Upturn Table as well. And we're actually visible on... it's not a black frame. So Upturn Table on Twitch. And then the Twitter. So the Twitter is new. So if you were following Idle Red Hands, that is going with Idle Red Hands, the Twitter account. So please follow me on Upturned Table on Twitter, and that will give you notifications also and kind of the updates of when things are happening and what's going to be coming up. And if we're doing live streams, there'll be notifications there if you don't want notifications on, you know, whatever platform. So this also shows up on Facebook. So Facebook as well is Upturned Table, and it's my personal account that this notification goes up on. So friend me if you would like to be notified, if Facebook is your platform of choice. And if you would like to support what we're doing, please visit patreon.com/upturnedtable. And there's a lot of different patron levels that specifically reference a lot of the different shows and content. So there is a level strictly for the lore video. So the Chronicler level is supporting the lore video production, and the weakling level, is for people that enjoy the weekly and want to see as much of that as possible and have it be the amazing production quality that you're already used to. And maybe we can pay Chris to take an afternoon off so we can do longer live streams. All right. UpturnedTableTop@gmail.com is the new email address. Somebody else has the shorter version. So UpturnedTableTop is a Gmail account, and that's also the YouTube account and everything. But the name doesn't have to match your email address. So that is it for this week. So thanks for joining me, and I will see you next week. And we don't have we don't have Chris's Later Mortals. You'll just have my goodbye.